Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, September 15, 2024, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are studying eternal security and eternal life, and we are in that part. What about those people who have believed in Christ for eternal salvation, and then they just crash and burn? They crash and burn. They make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. Now, some of them, they still go to church. They go to church and they get involved in all kinds of works and this and that and the other thing, and they sing how much they love Jesus, but they don't love Jesus. How are they operating? Well, the sin nature has an area of weakness that produces personal sin, and it has an area of strength that produces human good, dead works. Now, why is it dead works? Because it's produced by the sin nature, not by God the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to get to verse 8. We're in verse 1, but we're going to get to verse 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, who are under the authority and the control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. Absolutely are not able to please God. So here we have believers. They are controlled by the sin nature, and they're from the area of strength, they're producing human good, dead works. They go to church, they sing how they love Jesus, they get involved in all kinds of works, and it does not honor God. It does not glorify God at all, because it's coming from the sin nature, not from God the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants divine good production in your life, but that's only produced by the Spirit of God. And that means you must be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. You see, we live in a different dispensation than any other time in human history. We live in the church age. And God has provided a unique spiritual life. It's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. There never was this in the Old Testament. There was no universal indwelling of the Spirit in the Old Testament. There was no filling of the Spirit in the Old Testament. There was an endowment of the Spirit For a few people have the endowment of the Spirit to carry out a specific task. But no universal indwelling of the Spirit, no filling of the Spirit. That's unique to this dispensation. And that is the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Divine good production comes from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. This unique spiritual life is a supernatural life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God, the Holy Spirit. But there are lots of believers out there who are living their life by the power of the energy of the flesh, the sin nature. And as Paul teaches in Romans 8, the ones who are in the flesh, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not. They're not able to please God. They're not able to please God, and they don't please God. They don't please God at all. And unfortunately, that characterizes most Christians in America today. Some of Christians operate by the area of weakness of their sin nature. Personal sins upon personal sins upon personal sins. The lust patterns of their sin nature. Others operate by the area of strength of their sin nature. And produce human good, dead works, human good, dead works, human good, dead works. But they're all what we would call loser believers. Now, what about these people? Do they lose their eternal security? Absolutely not. So, point one, for some believers, there will be disgrace at the judgment seat of Christ. Every believer, winners and losers, all church age saints will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bema seat. B-long-E-M-A, the Bema seat. The evaluation where the Lord Jesus Christ will evaluate every believer, the winners and the losers. And the winners will receive fantastic greater grace blessings, crowns and rewards that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. There will be a lot of loser believers there. They will lose out. They won't get those greater grace blessings. There will be no crowns and rewards. But they'll still be in heaven. They will be evaluated, but not lose their salvation. Now, we, in our Thursday night class, we're in 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, believers, students in the congregation, keep on abiding in Him. Keep on living the spiritual life. For the purpose that when He appears, that's the Greek word phanerao, that's the rapture. For when He appears, the rapture of the church, we might have confidence. That's the winner believers at the judgment seat of Christ. That we might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame by Him, by Jesus Christ. That's the loser believers. They're there too. All believers will be evaluated, the winners and the losers. The winners will be there with confidence. The loser believers will be disgraced and put to shame by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 2:28. So for some believers, there will be disgrace at the judgment seat of Christ. But that does not in any way cancel their salvation. Oh, they lose out on greater grace blessing for all eternity. No crowns and rewards. but they don't lose their salvation. Two, losers do not lose their salvation. However, losers do lose their greater grace blessings for time and for eternity. Losers do not lose their salvation. However, losers do lose their greater grace blessings for time and for eternity. Since greater grace blessings are irrevocable, they remain on deposit forever in heaven as a memorial to lost opportunity. Lost opportunity to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Three, therefore, lost opportunity is not loss of salvation, but failure to glorify God in time. Therefore, lost opportunity is not loss of salvation, but failure to glorify God in time. Four. There will be believers at the rapture, following the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ, who were loser believers in their M.O. Their M.O. in life. That's the modus operandi. Though they did not lose their salvation. And the Apostle Paul saw this with many believers. Many believers that he even introduced to Christ and gave the grace gospel to. And it broke his heart. Turn over to Philippians. And any faithful communicator of the Word of God that, well, he gives the grace gospel, he sees people respond and believe in Christ as their Savior, and maybe for a while they assemble and they're learning and believing the Word of God and they're living the spiritual life. And then they react to something. They react to something. The pastor says something, stepped on their toes. Oh, that son of a bee pastor stepping on my toes. And then once the pastor steps on your toes, then, ooh, I don't care for him at all. I'll find me a nice church where the pastor doesn't step on my toes. Now, pastor's job is to teach the Word of God fearlessly. Fearlessly. Teach exactly what's there. And I know when I am teaching some passages, I know, oh boy, this will step on some people's toes. So now I have a choice. Don't teach it, or teach it and step as hard as I can. Well, thank you for those of you who pray that I teach fearlessly. And I'll keep on teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. And by the way, sometimes the Word of God steps on my toes. But that's when I'm in my office. I am sometimes so bloody in there I have to go take a shower because God stepped all over my toes. But I had time to recover, rebound, come in here and act like I've never sinned for 100 years. You know. So here is the Apostle Paul, and he knows these believers. He's seen them at one time positive, and then they react and peeled off. And so he says in verse 18, Philippians 3:18, for as I have often told you before, and now teach again, even with tears. You see, this broke the Apostle Paul's heart. It breaks any faithful pastor's heart when he sees believers react and peel off and wind up in the cosmic system. And that's what happened here. And so I have often told you before and now teach again, even with tears, many, many believers live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, they were believers. They are believers. And they're living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, that is, the sin unto death, divine discipline. Their God is their emotions, and their glory is to their shame. It will be to their shame at the judgment seat of Christ. And their mind, their thinking, is on earthly things. They're preoccupied with earthly things. So there will be believers at the rapture who were losers in their MO in life. But they did not lose their salvation, Philippians 3, 18 and 19. Such believers have made themselves, by the way, they make themselves the enemies of Christ. They make themselves the enemies of Christ by their own bad decisions. And so they will die under discipline, divine discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. And such people make emotions their criterion. This is in verse 19. And they will have shame. Shame at the judgment seat of Christ occurs because many believers in the church age fail to live the spiritual life. They fail to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They fail to attain spiritual maturity. They fail to have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And they do not glorify God. 5. For the believer in Jesus Christ who gives number one priority to the Word of God, he becomes a workman who does not need to be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. These are called the pastoral epistles. Deep point, because they were written to a pastor. Second Timothy 2:15. Now the Apostle Paul, certainly, yes, he is writing to pastor teacher Timothy, but this applies to all of us. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Ashamed. Where would ashamed? You don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth, the God-breathed scriptures, the word of truth. The objective is to handle the God-breathed scriptures correctly. And that's for all of us. That's for me, that's for you, that's for all of us. 6. The loser believer lives his life by the energy of the flesh. The sin nature, rather than by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The loser believer lives his life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, rather than by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And we're commanded to be empowered by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. We're empowered to walk by the Spirit. Walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. But you must be walking by the agency of God, the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. and under the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So the loser believer lives his life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, rather than by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. 7, the loser believer substitutes human viewpoint garbage for the absolute truth of the Word of God. The Word of God is aletheia. Sanctify them by means of the truth, aletheia. Thy Word is truth, Jesus Christ declares. Sanctify them by means of the aletheia, the absolute truth of your Word. Your Word is absolute truth. So the loser believer substitutes human viewpoint for the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, the winner believers are described in Philippians chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul is using himself as the illustration. Now, I don't know what you're translating. I'm looking here at the NIV, but boy, they really goofed this one up. I eagerly expect. It says, according to my intense concentration, according to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, but will have sufficient courage and confidence so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. We have two parts of our life here. We're only here a short time. We have the living phase of our life. We have the dying phase of our life. And so we go through two parts. We're only here a short time. I know when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be here forever. But short time. Now that I'm as old as dirt, there's a living phase and a dying phase. And the winner believer glorifies God in the living phase of his life. And the winner believer glorifies God in the dying phase of his life. So he says that Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life, the living phase, or by death, the dying phase. And then he says, for to me, Paul is a winner believer. What is the mental attitude of the winner believer? To live, and there's no verb. There's no verb. The absence of the verb puts the spotlight on Christ. To live, Christ. That was Paul's life. The Apostle Paul's life was Christ. The winner believer's life is Christ. To live, Christ. And to die, profit, gain. To live, Christ. To die, profit, gain. That's the thinking of the winner believer. That's how he operates moment by moment, day by day. All right. So, eternal security and confidence in God. Eternal security is a gift. It's a gift from God. At salvation, it is something every believer possesses forever, regardless of his experiential status. However, confidence is not possessed by every believer. Confidence in God and in the absolute truth of the Word of God is something that only the winner believer possesses. Eternal security of salvation is something God does for us. while confidence in God and His Word is something that happens to the believer who is consistent and faithful in growing up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But whether you have confidence in God and His Word or not, that does not change God's attitude toward you. God's attitude toward you is that you have eternal security at the moment of faith in Christ forever. That's why it's eternal. We acquire confidence in God and His Word as we fulfill the mandates of the Word of God to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. Confidence is an experience which comes through learning, believing, and applying more and more of the absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. Ignorance of the Word of God is simply failure or malfunction in you learning and believing God's Word. Ignorance is costly because it deprives the believer of confidence. Eternal security is inherited as salvation as a part of God's grace, while confidence in God and His Word is acquired as we learn, believe, and apply the Word of God to our life. Eternal security is permanent and cannot be destroyed by the believer's failures. Confidence in God is a temporary experience which can be nullified through ignorance, rejection of the Word of God, or living your life in Satan's cosmic system. Confidence is a virtue which can be destroyed by living in Satan's cosmic system or misdirected by dependence on man rather than God. Eternal security depends on the faithfulness and integrity of God, while confidence in God depends on living the spiritual life. Eternal security is a guarantee never to be lost, while confidence in God is a virtue that's manufactured as you live the spiritual life. All believers possess eternal security, but few today possess confidence in God and His Word. All virtue, love, and confidence in God and His Word is manufactured by the grace and power of God, living the spiritual life. However, virtue, love, and confidence in God completely vanishes to the extent that the believer resides and functions in Satan's cosmic system. 1 John 2:28, 1 John 3:21, 1 John 4:17. Loser believers and winner believers will all be in heaven. But how they die, well, is different. The loser believer will die through discipline. Starts out with warning discipline. Hopefully God gives you that discipline so that you come to your senses. Come to your senses and rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back into this, filled with the Spirit and the spiritual life, and start making good decisions. And all of us have gone through periods of warning discipline. Maybe you've gone through periods of intensive discipline. But if you don't learn, then next comes dying discipline. It's divine discipline. God spanks us because He wants to bless us. He doesn't want us to crash and burn. He wants us to come to our senses and get back into fellowship with Him. He wants to bless us, bless us, bless us. So losers, by their own bad decisions, will die under divine discipline. But for winners, with virtue, love brought to completion in their heart, with confidence in God and His Word, they die under maximum blessing. Maximum blessing. Dying grace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That was spiritually mature believer David. And David was saying, here he is. He has occupation with Jesus Christ. He shares the happiness of God. And as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he is occupied with Jesus Christ, sharing the happiness of God, has that peace which transcends all human understanding, and confidence that he is being held in the hand of Jesus Christ. So for winners with virtue, love, and confidence in God and His Word, dying is the ultimate in blessing. Philippians 1:21. To live, Christ. To live, Christ. To die, gain, profit. Therefore, now there is no judgment for the one who are in Christ Jesus. One of the most powerful verses on eternal security. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.